I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, it is 2026, and of course, the legislative session got underway yesterday. It's going to be a big year with the midterms in Missouri. Lots of important issues on the ballot, not the least of which will be Amendment 3, again, so named. Same as the last Amendment 3, but very different, because this one would protect life in the state of Missouri again, put a little sanity back in the law. All that's coming up in November. In the meantime, we've got, we've got elections in April coming up. We've got elections coming up in August, leading up to the general election, midterm elections in November. And we wanted to get Missouri Secretary of State Denny Hoskins back on the phone here to talk about all of those issues. Mr. Secretary, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Great to have you back. Were you down there for the opening session yesterday?
I was down here for the opening session, and you know, I think it went pretty uneventful. And I think a lot of eyes and ears were on the Senate to see what the Senate Democrats might do after being PQ'd in special session and at the end of regular session last year.
Yeah, do you miss it?
I do miss some of the sausage making and policy making, and believe it or not, I have a new role as Secretary of State and a lot more personnel issues and dealing with personnel, a lot more administrative function in the Secretary of State's office. But I do still get to do some policy work, especially on elections and business services and things that affect the Secretary of State's office.
Yeah. What are you most proud of so far of your tenure Secretary of State? And because we do have a number of elections coming up, and I know that you've been a big proponent of election integrity and maybe getting us back to paper ballots and a different way of doing things at the voting booth.
Yeah, so I think part of it is education, you know, just help educating my fellow legislators as well as citizens here in the state of Missouri. You know, we had our first public hand counting demonstration at the Capitol last year. I look forward to hopefully doing that again. That I had Secretary of State from all over the United States contacting me on that and saying, hey, you know, someone reached out and said you did something with hand counting at the Missouri State Capitol. Can you tell us more about that? And that was a, you know, public viewing and public demonstration that we invited the public, elected officials, and the media to. But I think probably the biggest thing, the biggest focus that we've been focusing on is cleaning up Missouri's voter rolls. And this is an ongoing process because someone passed away last night. Someone moved from Missouri to Illinois last night or from Illinois to Missouri. So it's always constantly changing. But since last January, we've taken off over 200,000 ineligible voters off the voter rolls here in the state of Missouri. And that includes over 60,000 deceased voters, over 5,000 felons. Felons can't vote here in the state of Missouri. So I think that's probably the biggest thing that we've been focusing on, is making sure that only eligible voters are on the voter rolls here in the state of Missouri. And that's just a constant ongoing process.
Yeah, those felons, for example, are those people that had been registered to vote and then became felons and should have had their names removed? Or did they somehow register after their felony conviction?
Yeah, for the most part, they were registered to vote and then became felons.
Okay.
I think that there were some that actually did the opposite, but for the most part, they were registered voters and then became felons and just needed to be taken off the voter rolls.
What did happen yesterday, Mr. Secretary, for the first day of the session was the House Democrats came out and said that they wanted to impeach you. And that all surrounds this whole petition, right, to kind of reverse that congressional map. Explain what's going on here.
Well, I jokingly said earlier that we've all heard of Trump derangement syndrome, TDS. I think the House Democrats here in Missouri maybe have HDS, Hoskins derangement syndrome. So they filed articles of impeachment on me for me basically doing my job, following state law as it goes through this referendum process. A freshman Democrat independent state rep filed articles of impeachment against me. saying that I should count all the signatures. Now, currently, there's about 10 court cases ongoing regarding this redistricting and the map and the referendum process. What I'd said is that, hey, any signatures that were gathered before October 14th, when I certified the language for the referendum, should not be counted. And so we've kept those separate. We've not thrown them in the trash or anything else. We've kept those separate. We still have those on file in a locked room. But any signatures that were collected after that would count. You know, if we did count those signatures before October 14th, that means like people, the Democrats could start collecting signatures for a bill that hasn't even made it through the legislature, like a tax cut bill this year. And so there's a part of the process. I'm following state law. I'm following the Missouri Constitution, and House Democrats don't really like that.
No, it sounds like it. So where does that process stand? I know you said there are court challenges. Minus those ballots that they would all like to see added in, are there still enough petitions to get this on the ballot at this point?
Possibly. There could be. So starting December 23rd, we'd scanned all these signature pages into the database, and now our local election authorities and county clerks are going through that painstaking process of comparing the signature on that referendum to the actual voter registration. And that's done online. We basically had 2 weeks to scan all those pages in. We scanned those pages in, flipped kind of a switch on the database, and so our local election authorities could go in there and verify those. Our local election authorities and county clerks have until July 28th to verify those signatures. As you know, filing starts at the end of February through March, and the Attorney General and I have both come out and said, hey, the new map is in effect, barring some court order that might say different. So
yeah,
as of right now, the new congressional maps are in effect for 2026. On July 28th, those county clerks will turn over that verification of signatures to me, and then I will go through the certification process at the Secretary of State's office to see if they should be certified.
So we've still got quite a bit of time to go on that. Missouri Secretary of State Denny Hoskins is our guest. On the petition issue, I mean, this is kind of stuck in my craw for a while. I obviously support people's constitutional right to go out and sign a petition for anything they feel a grievance against or show support of. What galls me is that the system in Missouri allows people from Virginia and other states, if they've got enough money, these organizations can come in and buy their way onto the ballot in Missouri. Would you like to see that addressed at some point?
Yes, most certainly. You know, Missouri has one of the easiest initial petition processes in the country. And we've been looking at what some of the other states are doing, some of the other states with initial petition processes. They require proof of citizenship in the state of Missouri. They also say, hey, when they're collecting those signatures, that they have to verify with a photo ID anybody that signs that petition.
Right.
We've also said that, hey, you know, maybe if they have to at least live in the state of Missouri for 30 years. You're very correct. There was people from Minnesota, Michigan, California, New York, all over that they hired to come in and gather signatures. So there's several different things that we could do. You know, some states like Kansas, they don't have an initial petition process for citizens. So if something's going to get on the ballot, the legislature has to do that. I'm not saying I'm advocating for that, but really here in the state of Missouri, we have a lot of not only outside influence from other states in the United States, but outside influence from other countries as well.
Sure. All right. So we'll keep checking in with you on that petition process there regarding redistricting and see what's going on. Mr. Secretary, yes. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet. Great talking to you. Yeah, you bet. Secretary of State Denny Hoskins talking about what's going on down there and getting us ready for what's going to be a big year, no doubt. Coming up, couple Rascal Flatts tickets to give away and some really good news for you regarding giveaways. I think we can let the cat out of the bag here when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Well, I'm not saying that Rascal Flatts doesn't have more hits, but that's the biggest one. So we tend to play that when we're giving away Rascal Flatts tickets this week. I got another pair coming up at Enterprise Center over there when they get all the ice cleaned up. All right. January 17th, you're going to get to go watch Rascal Flatts. Thanks to our friends at Live Nation. We appreciate that. We'll give away another pair for you tomorrow. But first of all, you got to win these. So what do you think, Ethan? I'm thinking maybe the final score of the Mizzou game last night. Was that 86 or something they scored? We could take color 86?
That'd be pretty tough on
Cam. Oh, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe we'll pick a lower one. How about that? How about caller number 12? 314-241-9797. Caller 12 at 241-9797, which is also the text line. I feel like I have to mention that. Also the text line. So send us your thoughts there. If you missed anything today, you can always pick up the podcast at 971talk.com, on the Odyssey app, or wherever you pick up your podcasts. I am watching something live on TV right now that is, it's just disturbing. And there's actually an idiot carrying, this is in Minneapolis, live up here with the protest. There's an idiot carrying a No Kings flag. Now, my guess is he or she, it looks like a she, was also protesting the snatching of Maduro. So she didn't want any kings, but she doesn't want you to snatch any kings either, like Maduro. This is the moronic attitude that you're dealing with here. But at this protest, I'm not kidding you. There was video earlier I mentioned it. We're going to talk to Griff Jenkins about this a little bit at the bottom of the hour. But There's a video last night of them marching around, all chanting, you know, dropping the F-bomb on ice, blank ice, blank ice. So we couldn't use the audio because that it was just filled with curse words. And they're all carrying, one of them was carrying a Palestinian flag. I'm waiting for a Venezuelan flag to pop up, which is what they'll get next. And a few minutes ago, they arrested one of these idiots who apparently assaulted an ICE officer, threw a snowball or something. They took him down and they put him in handcuffs. And now there's a big crowd. They're all standing around with their phones focused on the officers. They're screaming at them, you know, waving their flags and their signs against our federal Immigrations and Customs Enforcement officers. And it's discouraging. It's discouraging that elected officials in this country are encouraging this sort of activity. You can protest all you want, but the minute you carry it too far, you at that point are completely responsible for what happens next. Not anybody else. You are responsible for what happens next. If it's Mike Brown, right? If it's Freddie Gray, was that his name? The guy from Baltimore? I mean, I can go down the list of these, and you can find people defying police orders, not doing what they're told, not complying when an officer tells you to do something. And you can choose to do that if you want. You have that freedom. You also have to live with the consequences. And unfortunately, this young girl who chose to apparently move from the Kansas City area somewhere to Minneapolis and become part of a squad of people that were following ICE around yesterday, trying to impede them, trying to block streets so that they couldn't drive any further or get to the person they were trying to arrest. And she ended up getting herself shot. It is tragic. But the way these people are reacting to our federal law enforcement officers, I guess my question to most of these morons would be, should we just not enforce the laws, or should we only enforce the laws that you agree with? Because that's what it gets down to. They don't want the law enforced unless they disagree with the outcome, as we saw in the Mike Brown case, right? There are protests and riots because the police officer in the Mike Brown case wasn't arrested and put in jail. Oh, I don't know why. Because federal investigations and local investigations and local grand juries didn't find that he did anything wrong. Period. And you still had parts of Ferguson burn as a result of that verdict and those decisions. I mean, it wasn't a court verdict, but you know what I'm talking about. That's the situation we're in. Kim, look at this video here. These people are following ICE officers around, flipping them off, waving signs in their faces.
I'm not surprised. And this is the thing. Yes, we're seeing this play out right now in Minneapolis. It's only a matter of time until this starts spreading to other parts of the country, potentially right here in St. Louis. People are that angry. This is not maybe at the same level as George Floyd, but I'm telling you, this is taking on a life of its own.
Where are the police officers? Like, what I see there are members of ICE. Many of them have fatigues on, and it looks like they probably have armor plating on their bodies in case one of these nut jobs happens to try to shoot or injure them in some manner. Why are the Minneapolis police not out doing riot control right
now?
Well,
here's what
of their mayor.
Okay, maybe.
Period.
Maybe, yes, maybe their mayor. I was also going to say that the crowd is, I mean, it's not small, but it's not huge right now. So maybe they feel like they can have it under control with just the people, the ICE agents they have there. The other factor is that as soon as you send in police officers, people get even more ticked off, and that could escalate things. So maybe this is somehow in an effort to not de-escalate, but not to escalate it. But clearly the mayor said to get the F out.
There's some slob standing in front of these immigrations and customs officers with a large piece of cardboard, and on it she's written the word murderers with an arrow pointing at the officers.
Oh, and then the flag that says no kings.
Yeah, no kings. I saw that. No kings in America.
Oh my gosh.
That same idiot was probably out protesting in favor of Maduro the other day, right, when we brought him back.
I mean, how long until buildings start getting set on fire and ICE agents are, I mean, ICE agents have already had their safety at risk. I know Trump wanted to deploy the National Guard to Chicago because he felt as though ICE agents' lives were at risk. And I was a little surprised the Supreme Court shot him down on that. But
and maybe that's what we send next.
Well, maybe that might be the next step.
Maybe that's what happens next. You know, it would inflame tensions, but I would kind of like to see Trump do that just as a, well, you ask for it kind of thing.
Yeah,
if you're going to threaten our ICE agents, we're going to defend them. And if it takes guard troops to do it, that's what we'll do.
But the Supreme Court could shoot them down just like they did for Chicago. Now, the situation in Minneapolis might warrant it a lot more than what was going on in Chicago. But just because he wants to do it doesn't mean he can.
Yeah. Well, I know what you mean. Coming up, we're going to talk to our friend Griff Jenkins. Now, he's been filling in on Fox and Friends this morning. And a few minutes ago, he had the opportunity to interview Jonathan Turley, one of the great legal minds. And he's a frequent guest on the networks talking about these legal issues and Supreme Court decisions that have looked at cases like this and comparing holding this up against what the courts have ruled in these cases. So we're going to get to Griff on all of that and much more for you straight ahead. Plus, we're going to talk about this study on which states are growing and which states are shrinking based on U-Haul rentals. It's all straight ahead on the Mark Cash Morning Show.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
It does appear that Good was trying to evade, to flee from the officer. She was told to get out of her vehicle. You are not allowed to shoot someone in flight simply because they're in flight. But if a car is barreling towards an officer, that car may be treated as a weapon under the governing case law.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins. I know where he is. He's in New York.
Indeed. More Def Leppard, please. More. Yeah. I want Def Leppard blaring in the helicopters when we take Greenland. That will be,
Wouldn't that be awesome?
An epic video the White House can put out. But, you know, can I just pick up, by the way, where Jonathan Turley, you played that soundbite coming in, Mark, and I think that was such an important point that he was making about, you know, it could be likely that the video is available to what we have now. And in full disclosure, we should point out there's an investigation, so we'll see where that leads. But based on what we see in the video, in the totality of circumstances, it will likely be that this, what we see is that this officer acted within his right of self-defense because of a perceived threat. And he said it was governed by case law. That case law is a Supreme Court case, Tennessee versus Garner from 1985, that established that law enforcement officers can't simply use deadly force to stop someone trying to flee them. You can't just shoot them because they flee. However, if there is a proven immediacy of threat where deadly force is justified because the officer has probable cause that their life is in danger or serious physical injury, and that would appear to be what we see on camera.
Well, I'm watching your live video this morning. I forget which reporter you have up there in Minneapolis, but I'm just watching the video of earlier of people waving Palestinian flags and no king signs this morning and screaming at our ICE officers and flipping them off. And this thing is going to grow and it's going to get out of hand, Griff. And the only people responsible for that are Jacob Fry and Tim Walz and Ilhan Omar, who are fanning the flames of this because it fits their narrative. And oh, by the way, nobody's talking about Somali fraud right now.
No, and that's such a great point that you're making on our video as we watch on the channel right now with these protests. One thing stood out, Mark, and that is there's a protester holding a sign that says murderers.
Yes.
Now, where did they get that? They got that from their politicians, the governor for months talking about ICE being Gestapo, the mayor dropping F-bombs, calling it murder, AOC. The list goes on and on of people that are calling them murders, prejudging an investigation. But when you look at the totality of circumstances, you cannot discount the fact that assaults are up 1,300% on ICE agents because of the inflammatory rhetoric from politicians, whether it's in Minneapolis or whether it's in Chicago or whether it's in Boston from the mayors and local leaders there or elsewhere. And because they're in a heightened environment, that is why tensions are in a dangerous level. Now, this woman was reportedly a legal observer. As a legal observer, you are not supposed to be in the middle of it. But yet we see on the video, first, she's obstructing a federal investigation by parking her car right in front of an ICE vehicle. That's strike number one. Two, then ICE officers have to get out and tell her that she needs to step out of the car because she is breaking law by obstructing or impeding this investigation. She then refuses, which escalates the perceived threat to officers. Then she backs up and takes a two-ton vehicle and speeds off, maybe striking, but at the very minimum, driving directly at the officer who fires. Paul Morrow, our Fox News contributor and former NYPD inspector, says it's worthy to note that the shots were fired through the front windshield, not the side of the car, meaning that he was directly in the line of a speeding car.
That's a great point. And here's something else, because I've watched some of the other networks and they've been trying to go out and interview witnesses who claim this was something other than what you just described. But one of them kind of let the cat out of the bag with this comment. Listen to this. Hold on here. I know what's going to happen. You're not going to be able to hear it until I fix this. Hang on. Here we go.
They clearly wanted her out of there because she was the main car leading the protest, is my understanding. I talked to another guy who was driving behind her. But she was very at... She was very successful in blocking traffic. She was doing what she was set out to do, and so they wanted to get her the hell out of there.
So it looked like she was impeding ICE vehicles.
Definitely, yeah.
So the witness is admitting she was impeding ICE vehicles. So she put herself in that situation. Now, Griff, you're a famous surfer. Where are the biggest waves in the world? Are they in Hawaii? Where are they? Australia? Where are they?
Well, they're in Hawaii off the Jaws break. They're off of San Francisco at the Mavericks break. And they're in Nazaré, Portugal with a 100-foot wave.
If you go there and you choose to take your surfboard and you paddle out there into that, aren't you assuming the risk that goes along with it? I mean, something bad could happen. That's not a situation where you're guaranteed to come out of that alive, right?
That's exactly right. And also, I think, you know, not only it goes beyond, Mark, just putting yourself in the situation of risk. It also, and this is what's going to be determined by the investigation, is whether or not she not only put herself at a risk with putting her vehicle obstructing the ICE vehicle, but she also legally may have turned her vehicle into a weapon that these officers are trained under federal and state law to treat as a weapon if it's speeding directly at them.
Sure.
Coming on the heels of statistics that show there have been 99 vehicle assaults on federal immigration officers so far this year, or last year, compared to only about 47 the previous year. So the threat of vehicle assaults, those vehicles being turned into weapons, has doubled as a risk to federal law enforcement.
I'm just nervous that this is going to end up being something like we saw in 2020 with George Floyd, where people start taking to the streets and they start burning down buildings. I mean, that is how angry people are at ICE agents just doing their job right now.
Well, Kim, it's a great point. And to be honest with you, if I'm you know, going to confess, I was kind of surprised that Minneapolis didn't burn last night. And that's a good thing. Hopefully it won't. There was a little bit of assaulting the office and throwing snowballs. Fine. But, and you did see Governor Walz, who's speaking out of both sides of his head, saying, you know, on the one hand, that this is outrageous and blah, 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 but then also telling protesters to do it peacefully. The problem is he's already poisoned their viewpoint and ramped them up and got them fired up. At the end of the day, I hope we don't see buildings burning, but I do think that while the George Floyd thing obviously was fueled by the rhetoric of particularly the mayor, Jacob Frey, back then, the same as it is now, hopefully that will not happen because, you know, an investigation is underway and federal immigration law enforcement, ICE, would not be in Minneapolis if it weren't a sanctuary jurisdiction. ICE, you know, Jacob Frey says, get the F out of our city. Guess what, Jake? They'd be happy to do that if you would simply hand in a peaceful manner the transfer of violent criminal illegal aliens for whom have ICE detainers placed on them. What do? They don't cooperate. Therefore, ICE has to go in and make what they call at-large arrests, and that puts everybody at risk. The immigrant, the officers, and of the public.
It's a good point, Griff, and well taken. Maybe this is not the crowd. I've equated this to the Mike Brown situation several times this morning. People were angry because they felt there was wrongdoing on the part of the officer, despite 50 FBI agents and grand juries and everything that found that the officer in that case did nothing wrong. The crowd was still convinced something wasn't right. And the crowd would change. I remember reporters up there covering it. It was a different crowd that came out when it got dark, and those were the troublemakers. So maybe the Antifa crowd just hasn't arrived in Minnesota yet. Maybe that's the difference.
Well, and hopefully they don't show up.
Yeah, hopefully
that's
they don't.
That's what we hope. And you're right. I mean, look, we're going to see a lot of the scenes you're seeing play out right now on our channel and other channels all day long for the next several days. But, you know, I would say that, you know, Mayor Jacob Frey has a duty to try and instill calm in his city. And what he said so far on camera is exactly the opposite.
Griff, keep up the great work up there on Fox, my friend. I understand you just dropped your daughter off at college again?
That's right. I dropped her off at University of Miami. And so as an Ole Miss grad, hottie toddy, we have a divided house tonight. But either way, either my daughter's team wins or I win in the big game. I hope it's the latter.
Wow, no kidding. One of my other oftentimes guests, Gene Evans, reached out to me and said she ran into Griff Jenkins in Miami, and he couldn't have been nicer, very warm and gracious. So thank you for that. Yeah.
Tell her the check is in the mail.
I will do it, buddy. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
See you guys.
All right. Take care of yourself. All right. I guess she ran into Griff when he was down there, maybe dropping his daughter off. So that's good. All right. Still lots of stuff to get to. You know, there's one way. I've often joked that J.B. Pritzker, probably Gavin Newsom, you can almost come down to it, Kathy Hochul, have got to all be in competition every year for U-Haul Salesman of the Year, for people renting U-Hauls one way to get the hell out of whatever blue mess they've created in their cities or states. And now U-Haul has released the statistics. So we're gonna talk about those and more when we come back. Stay tuned.
It's very offensive that the White House used taxpayer dollars and a taxpayer website to blame Capitol Hill police for what happened on January 6th.
Lying again, I'm telling you, I Mike Pence is dead to me. Can I just tell you that? I mean, the former vice president of the United States that, first of all, completely blew his duty off on January 6th of 2021, is now out again. That somehow CNN lured him on. Fortunately, the other networks ignore him and like the plague. But CNN had him on because they think he'll say something negative about Trump, which he did. He was on CNN yesterday complaining about the White House website that explains the timeline of January 6th and blows apart the lie that is told repeatedly by the Democrats who gathered on the steps to sing the other night to remember a January 6th and the insurrection, which, of course, we all know it wasn't. They're missing brain cells is what's going on here. They want to ignore what happened. The White House put up a website, said, here's the timeline, right? I was at the Ellipse that day. I was here. I was there when the president said peacefully and patriotically go protest. There'd already been two or three protests. There were two or three more scheduled. One was outside of the Capitol building. That's the one I walked down to. There was one outside of the Supreme Court. There'd been one elsewhere in town earlier in the day. There were seven protests planned that weekend. Why? Because I hate to keep going back to this, but it's the truth. Why did they have to change the law regarding the counting of electoral votes, the electoral law? Why did they change it? They changed it because they knew that the way it was worded before gave Mike Pence full authority that day to reject slates. And the only reason those slates didn't get rejected is because of what happened that morning when people broke into the Capitol building. And by the time they reconvened that evening, when they'd pulled off their sleight of hand, no senator and representative were willing to come forward and challenge the electoral slates. That had been the plan. That's why everybody went, was for them to vote to challenge some of the wrongdoing that happened in some of these states that's really just now starting to come out, which is another entire story in and of itself. But for Mike Pence to stand up and say the White House is trying to blame the Capitol Police, no. But you have to say the only person that died that day was Ashley Babbitt at the hands of a Capitol Police officer. She was unarmed, like all of the insurrectionists, unarmed, so-called insurrectionists, unarmed. There's no reason for Ashley Babbitt to die that day. But a Capitol Police officer who saw no consequences for it did shoot her. She wasn't aiming a car at him or anything like that. There was no justification for what happened there, but nothing was done with it. So I'm done with Pence. I can't stand it. It just drives me crazy. All right. So who do you think is the lowest on the totem pole when it comes to growth?
California,
New Jersey. California's up a spot or two, but New Jersey, Illinois.
Did this come out before Mom Downey was elected or after? Because I bet New York would be
what it is representative of U-Haul sales, rental sales over the past year.
Right.
Like where did they originate and where did they end up? And what you see is an exodus out of California and New York and Chicago.
Going to Florida?
Florida is a top destination.
Shocker.
Yep. And Texas is a top destination, of course. You bet. Trying to get away from those blue cities and states. No doubt about it. All right. Have a great day. The Kilmeade Show coming up next. Stick around for Annie and Mark. We'll see you Friday morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.